God calls us to be different. The sermon title today is Living by Faith Changes the Way We See Things. Now, oftentimes when you read something like that, you know, you think of vision. You know, a pastor's going to be talking about seeing things in different manners. You know, Virginia spoke about seeing this picture, and God gave a new context, okay? But that's not actually what I'm talking about, okay? I'm talking about the reality of ration, that when we as Christians live our lives, life is different. We see ourselves differently, and I'm not talking visionally. We look at things. It's the rationale that is different, and something changes in us. It's just an amazing reality that I can't explain. I wish I could, but it's just, to me, it's one of the mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he takes us from where we were, and he begins to transform us to where he wants to get us to be, which means he rewires us somehow. Things seem different. All of a sudden, we begin to look at life, and when I say that, I mean ration life in a different manner. There's a different level, a different plane, and all of a sudden, the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And boy, there's that word, grace. Because I'm going to tell you, it all starts with grace. It is the grace of God that changes us beyond changing. Because through grace, faith comes. Okay? None of us achieves faith on our own. It's a gift of grace. That's God's love in working form. I had that explained to me years ago. What is grace? God's love in working form. Extended to you, through you, and for you. I mean, that is huge. And faith is the first portion of that. And when we begin to live by faith, when we walk in real faith, all of a sudden, the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ changes reason. It changes the way we look at ourselves. It changes the way we look at others. It changes the way we look at things that happen to us. We still get the poor me's, don't we? We still get the old whys, don't we? But the reality is they don't last quite as long, because all of a sudden we begin to realize that God wants us to get through this thing. He doesn't want us to suffer in it, does he? He wants us to get through it. He wants us to grow and get stronger and stronger and stronger. Well, from your Bible, in the book of Romans, and it just so amazed me because, you know, I had these sermons already picked, and he ended that song with Romans 12 and 2. Well, I'm going to read to you Romans 12, 1 through 21. And it all hinges on verse 2 and what this means and how faith does this. Look at what he says. May the word of the Lord bless your hearts. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith. if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives, with liberality, he who leads, with diligence, he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. And do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Blessed be the word of our Lord, and amen. When I look at this scripture, and this is a scripture, and you know I've used this Romans 1 and 2 many times throughout my ministry. I don't know a pastor who doesn't. We all teach on this because this is one of the aggregates of our faith, okay? In other words, this is a place where we get rubbed, okay? What's aggregate? Okay, do you ever have sandpaper? Does everybody have sandpaper at your home? You know, what do you use sandpaper for? You rub it on wood and it removes the fine edges, you know, the tool marks, and makes it nice and smooth, okay? Well, it's kind of funny because I love rocks. And guess how you get rocks smooth? You put a whole bunch of them together and you tumble them around, and they knock the rough edges off of each other, and within a short period of time, they'll literally polish each other to the point where they are so smooth and shiny, they look like gems. Guess what God does with the church? He throws us all together, and we rub around and bump on each other, and before you know it, all our rough edges are off, and we're a polished gem in the hands of the Lord. You see, you can't polish one stone by itself. You've got to have all of them in there in order for it to work. That's why we're one body. We're one in the Lord. He is our head, and we are together. This sermon is actually going to last 2 days. So I hope you brought lunch. No, next Sunday I will end it. But this Sunday we're going to get into some meat. We're going to look at what God's talking about here. Because I'm telling you, folks, when we truly walk by faith, God changes the way we perceive the world if we will allow Him. And that is one of the greatest aspects of who He wants us to be, because the world hurts right now. And He knows we're hurting. There are many things that have come at our lives, and it feels like it's a personal attack. Folks, it's not. All right? That is simply sin. That's the curse. That is the curse we brought upon ourselves. But God has given us rescue from it, that we can find His rest in the midst of all of it, that nothing will overcome us. Yes, we're all going to die. How many of us realize that, you know, we have an end date, okay? Now, I don't think it's stamped on anybody's foot, so I can't tell you when it is, but it is coming. For some of us, the scripture says, we will see him coming in his glory. Okay? For others of us, we're just going to fade away like the flowers of the field, only to be reborn again. Do you ever notice how the flowers have a habit of doing that? And that's what we're going to be. But God wants us to understand that this period of time, in fact, it's the only period of time you will know, is here for a reason. It's to teach us something. It's to get us to grow for eternity, to prepare us for eternity with him, to prepare us for the millennium with him, and to know God. For one day, we will be with him forever. And in that day, we will be, what does the scripture say? Like him. Welcome to Life 101, where you are gaining the education, and at the end, there is no test. There's only one question that is ever asked. And it's a yes or no answer. And it determines everything about you. Do you love Christ? Yes? Go directly to heaven. Collect $200 and, you know, all that good stuff, right? Monopoly. No? Go directly to jail. But today, we're going to talk about that road that we are on and what's happening in our lives. Verses 1 through 3 is what I'm going to deal with today. It tells us here that we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Brothers and sisters, I have taught on this and taught on this and taught on this. So guess what? Today you're getting off the hook on this one. Because you know what it means to live that life where you come into a place of worship. That means you have to be part of a church. You know, there are so many people that tell me, oh, well, I don't need to go to church. Excuse me? You can't be part of a body if you're not connected to it. Remember what I said when we started. You can't tumble one rock. It'll bang around in there forever and simply break apart. You've got to have all the other rocks in there to make it work. And that's the way God wants his church to work, because none of us has all the gifts. That's why all these gifts are spoken of in here. That when we come together, we are to present ourselves to him. That means to one another. That is our spiritual act of worship. You can't do that act by yourself. You have to have others. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I can remember being a young man, and my mom, oh, I love my mom. My mom was a worldly woman with heavenly desires, but she was definitely a woman of this world, okay? My mom grew up in a hard home. She had 14 siblings. Yeah, my mom had a big family, 15 of them. And you don't have 15 siblings and not have a little bit of angst with one another. They loved each other, but it's funny because in a family that size, it's big enough to have cliques. Okay, sibling rivalry became pack rivalry. You know, the 10s to 14s versus the 15s to 18s and, you know, the 4s to 7s, you know. It's like, oh my gosh. But during that time, my mom learned just how hard life can be with 15 kids. My mom would often talk to me And she would look at me and she would say to me, because my reasoning wasn't her reasoning. Remember, I only had four siblings until late in life, and then Gina came along when I was 21. So I literally became a man before my little sister, my baby sister, came along. And my mom, she would look at me and she would say to me, because remember, she came from a different era, you know, she would say, "You are not in your right mind." Because I would do things wholly different than she would. You are not in your right mind. Wayne says it this way: you are outside your mind. And I love that. I just think that's funny. Okay? But God wants to renew our minds, because we're all stuck in the stuff that we have been raised up in. We talked about this today, didn't we, Dennis? About the children being blank slates. And it's what we put into them as to what they become, okay? And it's so funny, because we look at these children and we think, how in the world did that ever happen? You know, I can remember when Russell was little, and all of a sudden he would say a word that no child is supposed to say, and everybody'd say, "Oh my gosh, where did he learn that?" And I'd look at his grandmother. Really? And sometimes I would have to look at my own heart and be embarrassed, because some of the things he said came from Dad. They're blank slates. God wants us to be a blank slate before Him. God wants us to take our preconceived notions and set them aside. He wants to teach us who He is and how to live and how to be. Now, I need to ask you folks a question. How easy is it to unlearn your entire life? It is a struggle, isn't it? Because I've been through it all. Through it all. We sing the song, don't we? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I'm miserable as hell. Because we're stuck in this life. But God says you're not stuck in this world. You are in me, and I am in you, and I can change you. And I used the word that I did for a reason. Because when we realize that, this is the only hell we will know. Hell's a real place. And if this is as worse as it gets, we got it pretty doggone good. And we need to remember, Jesus has overcome the world. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Philippians 2. All right? Philippians 2, we're going to read verses 3 through 8. But before we get there, you go ahead and get there. I'm going to read this next verse from the book of Romans as you're turning. It says, "For through the grace," oh, there's that wonderful word, "for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." So here we are. We need to have this sober judgment upon ourselves by grace through faith. Do you see the power of God in this? This is a gift of God to get outside of our situations and see things for what is really going on and what God really wants us to become. Because God is not going to take away the curse of this world. He can't take it away. But what He can do is change us to respond differently to the things that happen, so that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we can see things for what is really happening around us and understand God has a better way for us. So over here in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, beginning in the third verse, we read these words: "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Folks that were with us in discipleship, does this sound familiar? I'm telling you. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also, I got my underline there, through verse 8. When we look at this word, I want you to think about what this word is telling us. Jesus here knew he was God. Amen? He knew he was from God. He knew he was going to return to God because he is God. He is the second person of the Godhead. He existed before time. We can see him with Abram before he became Abraham. We can see him with Jacob as he wrestled with him in the desert. We can see him. We can see him. We can see him. He has always existed. Jesus will always exist. He died, and he is again, and he is now at the right hand of God the Father, where he does what? Sits and boasts about himself, right? No, he sits there and intercedes on our behalf because he loved us, that he gave his life for us, that we would know the glory of God. If the Son of God, the second person of God, is beseeching God on our behalf to do something, do you think he's going to do something? Oh, my goodness, people. He sent the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, to be here on our behalf. I look at this word and I think to myself, here is the man Jesus. He left his glory in heaven and he came and he gave up his glory and he submitted to God. Do you know who God is in our lives outside of Jesus Christ? I want everybody here to say me. Outside of Christ. Now, I don't want you to say you. I want you to say me. Because outside of Christ, you think you're God. You are all important. You are everything. You keep it all together. You have to empower it. Isn't that God? Isn't that God? But you see, Jesus says, what does it say here? What does it say here? He existed in the form of God, yet did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped. You and I are not God. How can we continue to act as though we are in this world? That everything revolves around me. I am all important. We all think we're cats. Do you know there's an adage among pastors? Do you know what being a pastor is like? Being a pastor is like herding cats. Okay? You can call a dog to you, right? Come here, Rex, come here, Trigger, come here, Browning, and they come running. You look at a cat and say, come here, they're like, and walk the other way. You come to me. You come to me. And in life, that's what we are. We're a herd of cats. Going our own way with our own desires and our own reflections, and this world comes against us, and we wonder why things are so hard, so difficult. And you know, just take it away. We come to God with a different attitude. You know, we heard the song there, that the song Different. It just, man, it reached me. I mean, it reached me hard. And because all I could think of was in my life, all I could think of was my dad having cancer and my father-in-law coming down with cancer and then Russell coming down with cancer. And it just kept coming, you know. And through all of that, you know, I had blood clots in my legs and heart attacks. And it's just like, oh, my gosh, make it stop. I got a broken toe right now. In fact, I think it's more than one because the one next to it was purple, and then two toes down, it was purple. And they don't feel so hot. I'm going hunting tomorrow. Well, I'm taking a bunch of guys hunting. Let's put it that way. I'm probably going to walk out in the woods for a little bit. I won't be climbing a tree tomorrow, I don't think. But I'm going to go, and I'm going to have fun, and I am going to enjoy the company of these men, and hopefully they with me, because we're going up to God's mountain. We're going out into God's woods, and we're going to take some time away to refresh and to renew and to search our own souls as to where we are, and God, you know, where do I need to reflect and how do I need to change? Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to come at this thing with sober judgment, realizing I'm not God, but God is here for me. God has come here for me. You see, there is a place where you can insert that word me, but it's not that I am God. It is that God is here for me because he loves me. And he wants me to see things differently. He wants me to understand his power and his grace through faith. Because you see, the stronger your faith gets, the more you are going to change. You know, I love speaking to seasoned citizens, okay? Because they have been so seasoned in their faith. They are so much more mature in their understanding. You know, when we're young, we're impetuous, aren't we? We just, you know, there's nothing that can stop me. A refrigerator broke my toes. When I was 20, that refrigerator wouldn't have stood a chance. At 57, I think it won that battle, but it didn't win the war. Because it's a battle of the mind. It's a battle of the will. And if our will is yielded to the Lord, we will be changed. Because God sees here and he says, think not more of yourself than you ought. These things come our way because nothing plagues man except for the things of man. Amen? The things we've created, the things that we've done. You know, a lot of people say, well, but, you know, so-and-so doesn't deserve cancer and et cetera, et cetera. Folks, that's the curse. We all sin. It's not that your sin necessarily gave you cancer, but we live in this world of sin because we built it. Our forefathers built it, and we keep perpetuating it. And it's going to be this way until everything's clear. But Jesus says, you don't have to be of this world, just in it. I can give you freedom from it by giving you wisdom beyond it. And the understanding that this life, Daniel, is your heart going to be as it is and your legs going to be as they are for eternity? Nope. Amen. Because there's going to come a time when this body is going to fade away, isn't it? And you're going to be released from it. And then you are no more, right? No. We are forevermore renewed. That's our hope. And it's in that hope where we stand, that no matter what comes at us in this world, we know there's a better place for us coming. You see, we all see things here and now. We see things in the temporal, in the physical. This is going to end. And there is something better in store for each and every one of us. Life does not end here. For those who don't have Christ, life does end here. Because when they see death, they will see the second death. And that will be eternal death, where there is no quenching of the fire or the worm. Where the worm doth not die and the fire is not quenched. I believe that's how the scripture says that. Where the worm doth not die and the fire is not quenched. And you and I are freed from that. We will never know it. It'll never be part of who we are. As long as we take this mind of sober judgment, looking at the hardships that come your way and saying, Lord, teach me what I need to learn through this. Help me to be strong through this. Because I'll guarantee you, Mick, how you feeling, sister?
I'm feeling well today.
Feeling well today. Do you notice how she said that?
Amen.
Yeah. Because we go day by day, don't we? Each day has enough worries of its own.
Exactly.
Yep. But in this day, you're doing good to the grace of God and His glory. Amen?
Yes. Every day.
Every day. Ruth, how you doing, sis? Just okay? This too shall pass, right?
Amen.
And see, that's the whole point. We need to be honest with ourselves. Sober judgment means when you hurt, you hurt. And you reach out to the body for help. Remember, we're in this thing together, tumbling and bumbling and falling all over each other. And that's how we become those polished gems in this world. That when people look upon us, they see something of worth, something of wealth. Not because of us, but because of what God is doing in us and through us and to us. Because sober judgment takes things for what they really are. And I'm going to tell you right now, too many of us are taking this stuff personally and thinking we did something to make it happen. No. No. It's called life. It's going to come. You can't change it. And if you could, you really wouldn't want to because you would screw everything up. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know, some pretty bad things have happened to me in my life. But I know if I would go back and change any one of them, I would not be here where I am today. So when I look back on them, as bad as they were used to get me where I am. Is where I am a good place? You betcha. There is no better place for me right now. I'm so glad to be here. I am so glad to be in Christ. I am so glad that He is using an idiot named Richie Dubbs from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania, to preach the gospel to His children. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. I know from whence I have come. But God has said, you are worth it. With His hands wide outstretched. Come. Come. That's what He says on that cross. Come. You heard the gentleman in the song. The cross has made its effect, and it's constantly welcoming me back when I need it. But we need to remember, the cross may be there in our minds, but Christ is no longer on it. He is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father, and the victory is ours. That is thinking with sober judgment. Don't let the evil one beat you down. There is nothing in or of this world that can hold you down except your own mind. So therefore, renew your mind in Christ Jesus and use sober judgment upon yourself, that you may see where you are, know whose you are, and pursue the God who loves you to set you free and give you the hope of glory. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
And will you pray with me this day? Gracious Father God, we thank you so much. that you think more of us than any other thing in creation. Lord, not that I'm puffing myself up, but that I see myself for what I really am. Lord, I'm dust. Your Bible tells me that. So, Father, we thank you. We ask that you would continue to work in us and through us, that each person here would sense that sense of freedom in knowing that Christ has made that difference, that we will begin to see every day differently than we have seen before, and that we will understand differently, and that we will walk in accordance and obedience to your word, that we are your image, be it yet flawed, but we are your image being renewed daily in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray, and all the church says,
amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.